Okay, so it is the week before, or a few days before, our service before Christmas. Annie, I've got you coming up again to do the reading. Yep, lovely. Okay, coming up to Christmas, and we have the story of Jesus' birth. We've sung that song, Emmanuel, and O Come Emmanuel, and I mentioned that we live in this tension where Jesus has come, Christ has come, God's kingdom has come into the world. And as we know situations in our own lives and in the lives of others where we long to see God's kingdom goodness come in its fullness. And if you're unsure what that looks like, look at what Jesus brought to people during his earthly career. The healings he brought, restoration, forgiveness, hope, able to be engaged in vocation, the man with the withered right hand. I love that Luke notices that. This man couldn't work because his right hand, his dominant hand, was withered. Jesus healed him, which also gives him the dignity of meaningful employment. If you're unsure of what the kingdom of God looks like, read the Gospels. We have things that we long for in our lives and in the lives of others, and we exist in that tension. So today we're looking at a passage where we see such encouragement to hope as God is faithfully bringing forward his purposes. God is faithful to his promises. He is almost, and the word that I came to was relentless. I know sometimes it has slightly negative connotations, but God is, in a positive way, relentless in bringing about his purposes. But he sometimes does it in unexpected ways. So we're looking at that today, faithfulness and unexpectedness. Before we get too much further in, though, this passage from Samuel, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, for the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Does anyone know the context? This is a little Bible trivia quiz. Context for this passage, Samuel looking at someone. King David is about to be anointed. But who does Samuel go to first? The oldest brother, who looks impressive. And he says, surely, here we go. We've got it sorted. Here is the Lord's anointed. This person looks really impressive. And the Lord says, no, not this one. And in fact, the Lord says, no, not this one, seven times. He goes down through the family till we get to David, because the Lord looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance. We're going to keep that phrase in our minds as we go. So I mentioned in this passage that we've just read, Annie's just read for us, in Matthew, we are seeing God bringing about his purposes miraculously. The first part of Matthew, we heard a couple of weeks ago, the genealogy, 17 chapters of it, 14 generations and 14 generations and 14 generations, seven lots of seven is where we get to with Jesus. The sense of God is faithfully and continuously and persistently through ages, sometimes taking longer than we would like, but persistently bringing about his purposes. And at the start of that genealogy, two ancestors of Jesus were particularly mentioned. Abraham, who was called to the land and given a promise. Through you, through your descendants, all nations on earth will be blessed. And David, who was called and anointed, and later in his career, he was also given a promise. You will never lack a descendant on the throne of Israel. Your kingdom, your house will remain forever. And Matthew, as he starts this genealogy, highlights those two. Because then he comes to Jesus, and the name Jesus means God is saving, God saves, God's salvation is coming. It's a fulfillment of Abraham's promise. God is fulfilling that promise from nearly 2,000 years earlier. And it says Jesus who is the Christ, the birth of Jesus the Christ. And Christ, or Messiah, is that promise to David, that messianic Davidic king who was coming. So right at the outset, Matthew is setting us up to see that God is fulfilling his promises and his purposes are coming about through history. So we're noticing a God who is faithful. And sometimes we overlook, but we're noticing a God who is for us. We're in a broken world. That brokenness is not God's desire. In the face of a broken world, God is for us and with us. God's in your corner and facing whatever you are facing. God is not the one against you. God is for you. God is for humanity here, and he's bringing about God's goodness to humanity. So we see a faithful God, but as we've already mentioned, we're going to see some things that are unexpected. So we're going to have a look at a few of the characters in this narrative. And by saying characters, I'm not meaning they're fictional. I just mean not all of them are people. So I can't say a few of the people in this story. So the first one we're going to look at is Mary. She is a young woman. She's engaged to be married. She's living in a quiet little town, in a rural setting, and an angel appears to her, and that is something she did not expect. You can be pretty sure. An angel appears to her and comes with this astounding news and a miraculous, actually unbelievable role for her in God's purposes. This is utterly unexpected. The story is familiar to us, but sometimes we forget there is actually more headspace in our culture where we have reproductive technologies. There's more space in our culture for the possibility of a virgin having a baby than there was here. This is not something that was sort of ordinary or normal. There is no headspace for this. She says yes to God's unexpected interruption. She says yes, and that's going to mean some pretty big changes to her life. And it's going to mean quite a bit of risk for her, because she risks being judged. She risks being misunderstood. She risks people making assumptions about her and smiling to themselves and saying, yeah, we know Mary. We know what's going on. She risks a lot in going with that unexpected prompting from God. Second person we're going to look at, Joseph. He is a young man in his culture. He's also engaged to be married. And then he hears some news that he did not want to hear. He hears that his lovely fiancée is pregnant, and he knows it wasn't a result of his actions. We can only imagine his sense of heartbreak and confusion as she comes to him with this story, which it really doesn't fit any previous understanding. As I read this passage, there's a sense of Joseph wrestling with his decision. Does he marry her anyway? But he knows he's not the father. Does he confront her? But he loves her. He cares about her. That's why he's wrestling. That's why it's a challenge. In the end, he decides to just exit quietly. And the reason I think that we have a sense of him wrestling here is at the moment he made the decision, he had this dream. So he's come to a point where he's just finally resolved, okay, I will do the most decent course of action that I can think of. Then he also has an unexpected interruption. with an angel appearing in a dream, telling him that what Mary is saying is true. And he also agrees to follow the Lord's prompting in his life, even though for him that's going to mean some big changes. And for him, he also has big risks. He's exposed also to judgment, to misunderstanding, to people's assumptions, to people's ridicule of him as a man who's been, you know, something's gone on behind his back. The third person I want us to notice here, we often don't think of, but in this passage, bringing this passage to us, is the human gospel author, Matthew. Matthew is recording this for us, for future generations, because he wants everyone to know about Jesus. He's got this desire for people to know about Jesus. And he also agrees to go along with something unexpected, God's unexpected way of doing things. The normal way to tell a story, to tell a history about someone that you respect and you want others to respect, is to put your best foot forward and build them up. You don't start with a confusing and controversial statement like, when his mother Mary had been betrothed, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. In this cultural context, this is not a good beginning if you want someone to look good. Matthew also says yes to acknowledging and being honest about God's ways of doing things, and has an unexpected beginning to his gospel, even though he risks being misunderstood and having people dismiss what he is saying. All three take a vulnerable choice when they follow the Lord. And we'll just notice here, this is not the kind of misunderstanding. Sometimes, I'm sure some of you have seen this as well, sometimes we see Christians or people in the media saying things in the name of God and being rather obnoxious or rude or putting themselves forward or building themselves up in a way that you think, that doesn't really remind me of Jesus. And then when they're misunderstood or they receive pushback, they say, oh, well, it's because I'm talking about God. And sometimes we think, I think it was because you're being rude. This is not that kind of misunderstanding. This is not that kind of judgment that they're open to. They're open to misunderstanding because they are quietly and humbly doing what God is asking them to. And God is acting in unexpected ways. So we have a God who is faithfully fulfilling his promises, but not by the important people in the eyes of the world, not by the people, the big players or political movers or the things that people might expect. We have a God who is still doing this, who is still saying, the Lord does not see as mortals see. People look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he found these people who responded to his purpose. And let's just notice what they had in common. They had the humility to respond when the Lord came in unexpectedly in their lives, to say yes to something that meant changing their plans, that meant some level of risk to them, that meant being real and authentic and vulnerable in a way that people might misunderstand. They were willing to be part of God's purposes, and they got to be part of something amazing. So I have a couple of thoughts bringing this together. The first is for us, Stoke Baptist Church. We have situations where we long to see the Lord work, individually and collectively. The Lord is faithfully bringing about his purposes. The Lord is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. Let us keep praying and seek for his kingdom to come increasingly. We have a Lord who is faithful and a Lord who is for us. He's in our corner in the face of the brokenness of this world. A second thought here is that the Lord tends to do things in unexpected ways and not always in the time frame that we want. How do we get good at looking at the Lord's unexpected ways? And without putting her on the spot this moment, when Jan spoke to me before the service today about that call to pray for someone she didn't expect to pray for. And the Lord moved amazingly in that situation. How do we get good at noticing where the Lord is giving us those unexpected nudges, the nudging Holy Spirit? He says, hey, just notice that lonely person. Just notice that person who needs a smile. Just notice that person you could say thank you to and stop and say thank you properly. Where do we see the nudges of the Holy Spirit? Who are we being nudged to pray for? Because the Lord doesn't see as humans see. The Lord sees the heart and often acts unexpectedly. So the final thing I want to talk about is we are open to those unexpected nudging of the Holy Spirit and praying for them. And not judging and not making assumptions, because that was the wrong path. Praying for those unexpected nudges of the Holy Spirit. There was another character in the story, and that is the angel. Let's see what the angel says. The angel says, Joseph. Joseph is known by name. Joseph, son of David. His context is known in its specifics. The Lord sees you and calls you and addresses you by name. The Lord knows you and your context. And the angel said, don't be afraid, be reassured. God is involved here. And when you're responding to the nudging Holy Spirit and when you're praying for those situations where you long to see God's kingdom come, don't be afraid. Be reassured. The Lord is at work. See, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. Carry on doing the right thing. For she's telling the truth. How exciting. The Holy Spirit is at work here. In this unexpected circumstance. And you have a place. You're going to name him Joseph. You're going to have a place naming this precious child. You're going to name him because he is going to be Emmanuel, God with us. So this is our encouragement. As we pray for the courage and the humility to respond to the nudging Holy Spirit, that God says, I know your name, I know who you are, I know your context, I care about you. Don't be afraid. God is at work. Keep going because God is with us. I've never done this before, but is that something that you want to say amen to?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to go again a little louder?
Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. We want to say amen and let us pray. Lord Jesus.